JC2S, Part 1.
Number 20A.
All right, so we begin then with the principal tone, and we look now at the main epitome for the main tone here, and we see then it's that the ever-operative divine principle replaces the concept of material science with the science of God. So we can hear now the principal tones in it, can't we? The main tone here is that ever-operative divine principle, or we could say the science of God, replaces, or we could say that the science of God, the ever-operative divine principle, comes to us and is one with us, infinitely individualized, yet still remains the one ever-operative divine principle, God. And then that, through the law of retranslation, retranslates out the concept of a material science back into the science of God. So we see now that Mrs. Eddy, as she has through the other main tones, builds it up through the law of the seven subtones. And so we begin now with principle as mind. And here we have as a epitome that ever-operative divine principle, that science of God. Now that's that science which we have as the main tone. Now it bases itself on the divine mind. That is then that principle as mind, and not on human beliefs. And we know then that human beliefs are just the opposite of mind. So let's see what Mrs. Eddy says then about how that ever-operative divine principle, the basis of the science of God, now bases itself on the divine mind. Now, this is a longish, you can see, subtone, to say the least. It goes from page 123.16 to 125.30. Mm-hmm. So let's read it together. The term Christian Science was introduced by the author to designate the scientific system of divine healing. The revelation consists of two parts. One, the discovery of this divine science of mind healing through a spiritual sense of the scriptures and through the teachings of the Comforter as promised by the Master. Two, the proof by present demonstration that the so-called miracles of Jesus did not specially belong to a dispensation now ended, but that they illustrated an ever-operative divine principle. The operation of this principle indicates the eternality of the scientific order and continuity of being. Christian Science differs from material science, but not on the account that it is less scientific. On the contrary, Christian Science is preeminently scientific, being based on truth, the principle of all science. Physical science, so-called, is human knowledge, a law of mortal mind, a blind belief, a Samson shorn of his strength. When this human belief lacks organization to support it, its foundations are gone. Having neither moral might, spiritual basis, nor holy principle of its own, this belief mistakes effect for cause and seeks to find life and intelligence in matter, thus limiting life and holding fast to discord and death. In a word, human belief is a blind conclusion from material reasoning. This is a mortal, finite sense of thing, which immortal spirit silences forever. The universe, like man, is to be interpreted by science, from its divine principle, God, and then it can be understood. But when explained on the basis of physical sense and represented as subject to growth, maturity, and decay, the universe, like man, is and must continue to be an enigma. Adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of mind. They belong to the divine principle and support that equipoise of that thought force which launched the earth into its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. Spirit is the life, substance, and continuity of all things. We tread on forces. Withdraw them and creation must collapse. Human knowledge calls them forces of matter, but divine science declares that they belong wholly to the divine mind, are inherent in this mind, and so restores them to their rightful home and classification. The elements and function of the physical body and the physical world will change as mortal mind changes its beliefs. What is now considered the best condition for organic and functional health in the human body may no longer be found indispensable to health. Moral conditions will be found always harmonious and health-giving. Neither organic inaction nor overaction is beyond God's control. And man will be found normal and natural to change mortal thought, and therefore more harmonious in his manifestations than he was in the prior states which human belief created and sanctioned. As human thought changes from one stage to another of conscious pain and painlessness, sorrow and joy, from fear to hope and from faith to understanding, the visible manifestations will at last be man governed by soul, not by material sense. Reflecting God's government, man is self-governed. When subordinate to the divine spirit, man cannot be controlled by sin or death, thus proving our material theories about laws of health to be valueless. The seasons will come and go with changes of time, tide, cold and heat, latitude and longitude. The agriculturist will find that these changes cannot affect his crops. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. The mariner will have dominion over the atmosphere and the great deep, over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. The astronomer will no longer look up to the stars. He will look out from them upon the universe. And the florist will find his flower before its seed. So we certainly hear now the science that governs changes, don't we? We hear then that Emmanuel, that ever-operative divine principle then is coming to us and is at one with us, infinitely individualized. And that is, must, will. Do you see, again, the Christ must, the Christ will, that must, that will cause a retranslation going on in the world. So all these musts and will indicate a retranslation is happening and that retranslation must happen and it will happen. She doesn't leave any doubt. Well, maybe it will and maybe it won't. The Christ must be wrought out in life practice, she says. So therefore, we have the whole tonality as we saw now of this tone of principle coming in, that science of God, then with its place value here in the sixth chapter, governing changes. Very, very evident, isn't it, here? I think of all the changes we could underline in this subtone. So we start now at the beginning, and because it's such a longish subtone, we'll just maybe go from marginal heading to marginal heading. It's all under the same subtone, but there are big points brought out under each of these marginal headings. So just to break the subtone down a bit, let's start with the first section. It doesn't have a heading, but we'll just go now from 123:16 to 29. Let's look at that part again, where she said the term Christian Science was introduced by the author to designate the scientific system of divine healing. There we have principle as mind, don't we? The revelation consists of two parts. One, the discovery of this divine science of mind healing through a spiritual sense of the scriptures and through the teaching of the Comforter as promised by the Master. So now we have the roof category here is revelation. She's showing now that she's going to talk about this scientific system of divine healing, which came to her through revelation. So that's the big point. The Emmanuel, God with her, that mind with her, infinitely individualized, if still remaining the one mind, brings that revelation, huh? That ever operative principle operating as that mind we've seen now comes to her and brings her the revelation. And so therefore the outcome of that revelation is the discovery of what? Of the divine science of mind healing through a spiritual sense of the scriptures and through the teachings of the Comforter as promised by the Master. So here again, we keep going back to that main tone of mind, don't we? Where we see then that that revelation, which came to her as a discovery of the divine science of mind healing. Again, that where she said, I learned these truths in divine science, that mind is all and matter is not, as a leading factor in mind science. So she's just giving us now the pith of her discovery, isn't she? Those are those two big points that we saw in mind. Now she shows that through revelation she received a spiritual sense, and that spiritual sense enabled her to discover that science in the scriptures. And she shows that this discovery came through the teachings of the Comforter. Now, what tonality would be the teachings of the Comforter? The Comforter is what? Divine science, isn't it? Yes. And Holy Ghost? That's right. So we see then, she's just reiterating that this was a discovery of divine science, and it came through the teachings of the divine Comforter. So what she discovered was the divine science of mind healing, and it came to her through the teachings of the Comforter. Therefore, it came to her through the teachings of divine science, we could say, or it came to her through the teachings, as Mel said, of the Holy Ghost. And when we look up the Holy Ghost, we saw that Holy Ghost meant the development of eternal life, truth, and love. So therefore, the discovery of the divine science of mind healing came through the eternal development of the laws of life, truth, and love. Those laws brought to her the discovery. So again, you can see it's revealing, showing now under the principle is mind tone, the science or principle behind her mind's revelation. And it's showing that ever operative principle that is behind her revelation. What is that ever operative principle behind mind's revelation? It's the Comforter. It's the Holy Ghost. It's those eternal laws of life, truth, and love. They're that ever operative principle that brought to the discovery. You see? Hear the? It's tremendous, isn't it? You hear that it's that ever operative principle bringing mind's revelation according to the laws of divine science. Again, that those laws overriding the whole chapter. So that principle, that ever-operative principle, brought mind's revelation through those laws of divine science, through those self-organizing, self-regulating laws, where that mind then is revealing itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, for the glory of itself. And we know then that divine science always includes absolute Christian science and Christian science, so that that mind's revelation came through those ever-operative laws of self-organization, mind operating out of itself, as I said, through itself, as itself, and for itself. But that's a multidimensional operation. Therefore, that mind's revelation coming according to the laws of absolute Christian science. According to absolute Christian science, the word is absolute Christian science. According to those laws of the divine success mechanism, according to those laws of the divine breakthrough, according to those laws that bring revelation, bring breakthrough. And then we see that it's coming according to the laws of absolute Christian science, how that revelation makes its breakthrough. But according to the law of truth, life, and love, that breakthrough is infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation. Huh? It was Emmanuel, God with Mrs. Eddy, huh? Mind with her. And therefore, through those laws of truth, life, and love of the Christ, behind the Christ order of principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, that through that translation of that revelation, it was translated right down to her understanding through the manifesting power of mind, and it therefore brought the discovery right down to her specific situation. So she's showing that it was then, just to go over again, that it was principle is mind, this ever-operative principle, bringing mind's revelation through those ever-operating laws of divine science. All right? And then there was a point two to her revelation. It was the proof. And she says, the proof by present demonstration, that it was a present demonstration, that the so-called miracles of Jesus did not specially belong to a dispensation now ended, but that they illustrated an ever-operative divine principle. The operation of this principle indicates the eternality of the scientific order in continuity of being. So it just shows here then that that discovery had its proof. And its proof came on then the basis of the ever. See there, you hear the life tone there, huh? The proof came on by present demonstration. They didn't belong to a period now ended, but they're illustrating the ever, the now, the always, the eternal operating principle on those eternal laws of life, truth, and love, which are eternally going on in the scientific order and continuity of being. All right, so she gives us now then the principle behind her mind's revelation. Now we go on and we take a look at the next point that comes. We'll just use the marginal heading as a break for us because of, as I said, the longness of the subtone. So let's look at the next point under scientific basis. She says, Christian science differs from material science, but not on account that it is less scientific. On the contrary, Christian science is preeminently scientific, being based on truth, the principle of all science. So she asks that open question. Well, is Christian science less scientific because it differs from material science, which we consider scientific? And she says, no, absolutely not. That Christian science is scientific because it's based on truth, with a capital T, on truth God. And therefore, it is that truth God, which is the principle of all sciences. So she's implying, therefore, that that which is based only on truth, the principle of all science, is scientific. That Christian science is scientific. And she's implying, well, if Christian science, which is the science of God, is scientific, and it goes out, as we have seen, from reasoning from mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, then all that we have seen that the physical sciences base themselves on, sensual reasoning, reasoning out from the physical senses, it's implied that that is something not scientific, that really this what is science is that which is based on truth God. That has the right to the name science. Okay? Then we take the next marginal heading, look at it. It says, physical science, so-called, is human knowledge, a law of mortal mind, a blind belief, a Samson shorn of his strength. When this human belief lacks organization to support it, its foundations are gone, having neither mortal might, spiritual basis, nor holy principle of its own. This belief mistakes effect for cause and seeks to find life and intelligence in matter, thus limiting life and holding fast to discord and death. In a word, human belief is a blind conclusion from material reasoning. This is a mortal, finite sense of things, which immortal spirit silences forever. So you see there that human belief, which is just a blind conclusion from material reasoning. And we know then that is the basis for the physical sciences, which she says, well, it's just human knowledge. Physical science is based on human knowledge, on a law of mortal mind, on a blind belief. A blind belief, which is a conclusion from sensuous reasoning or material reasoning out from sense testimony. But here's the point here, too, that where she shows that when this human belief lacks organization, that's the opposite of principle as mind. When this human belief mind lacks organization or to support it, its foundations, its principle is gone. So she's showing that the only thing holding together the physical sciences are a human belief, which reasons out from material reasoning. That's the only thing holding it together. So she says, once that human belief lacks the organization or the support behind it, its foundations is gone. It's gone. So you can see then how we already saw that the physical sciences were based on mythology when we looked through and saw that she saw that mortal mind was a myth and matter was a myth and a sense testimony is a myth, and therefore she said that personal theories were a myth and death is a myth and a mortal man is a myth, imperfection is a myth. So she's showing here that, and we knew that was the basis of physical sciences, so she's now showing that the physical science is just based on a blind belief from human reasoning, and when this organization is gone, it is gone also. All right, so let's look at the next marginal heading, which is then right interpretation. The universe, like man, is to be interpreted by science from its divine principle, God. And then it can be understood. But when explained on the basis of physical sense and represented as subject to growth, maturity, and decay, the universe, like man, is and must continue to be an enigma. So she's saying only that which is interpreted from a right basis. So she says that the universe, like man, is to be interpreted by science from its divine principle, God, and then it can be understood. That's the only basis from which it can be understood. There's principle is mind. But when explained on the basis of physical sense and represented as subject to growth, maturity, and to decay, it remains an enigma. So the universe will remain an enigma unless it's explained on the basis of principle mind. Wonderful. Then she gives the explosion, She says, now remember this, because I'm now going to tell you the origin of the universe from the standpoint of the Big Bang. She says, the origin is going to be explained now. That Big Bang can only be explained from the standpoint of principle mind, never from any other standpoint. She says, under all forces mental, adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of mind. They belong to the divine principle and support that equipoise of that thought force which launched the earth in its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. Spirit is the life, substance, and continuity of all things. We tread on forces, withdraw them, and creation must collapse. Human knowledge calls them forces of matter, but divine science declares that they belong wholly to the divine mind, are inherent in this mind, and so restores them to their rightful home and classification. All right? So you can see where the first evening, when we saw then that in that book called by Dubois Raymond called The Seven Enigmas of the World, we saw that that first enigma or riddle, which remains an enigma, and Mrs. Eddy says will remain an enigma if tried to be explained from the basis of physical sense or physical science, the opposite of principle is mind, that the enigma is, what is the origin of movement? So she shows here and gives the answer of the origin of movement. All movement. She says, all force is mental. And so here she shows then that that origin of movement comes from that principle mind. From that principle mind, which has within itself all adhesion and cohesion and attraction. Huh? That's that that law of gravitation which Mrs. Eddy refers to, huh? That attraction which is in mind, that adhesion, cohesion, and attraction, that law of attraction isn't a law or property belonging to matter. It's not a material force, but it's a mind force. Therefore, adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of mind. They belong to that divine principle and support that equipoise of that thought force. You hear, principle is mind. They belong to that principle which support that thought force. And what did that principle as mind do? It launched the earth in its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. So you can see then that in answer to the question, what is the origin of all movement? It is principle mind, that ever operative principle as mind, which we could say launched the earth into its orbit. It brought forth the universe, including man. How? On the laws of divine science, huh? Operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. So she just goes on and says, spirit is the life, substance, and continuity of all thing. And she just reiterates the mind tone. We tread on forces. Withdraw them and creation must collapse. Human knowledge calls them forces of matter, which launch the earth into its orbit. But she says, oh no, divine science, those laws of the Holy Ghost, those eternal development laws of life, truth, and love, they're the ones that did it. They belong wholly to the divine mind and are inherent in this mind, and so restore them to their rightful home and classification. So she says, restore all this origin of movement to its rightful principle and classification. Restore it to that ever operative principle as mind then, which is the ever operative power, spiritual power, mind, which launched the earth into its orbit. Wonderful, isn't it? So clear.